The president of the AFL-CIO, John Sweeney, is among the speakers this evening at the Democratic National Convention. That's just another reminder that organized labor is here, prominently, this election year. At right around 20%, the proportion of union-affiliated delegates is not dramatically larger than in the past. What is different is the attitude of labor delegates toward the Democrats. They are enthusiastic in their support and also more vocal than ever about what they want from the party. NPR's Cheryl Duvall has this report.
This election year, the AFL-CIO is spending $35 million on political activity, including television ads such as this one, a succession of black and white photographs of worried and watchful elderly citizens. It's aimed at California Representative Frank Riggs' voting record on Medicare.
Congressman Frank Riggs voted to cut our Medicare benefits. Frank Riggs knows it, and so do we.
Ads like this began running today in 27 congressional districts in which Republican lawmakers voted for those cuts. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says this reflects labor's renewed focus on educating union members and the public about the political issues that matter most to them. Those include traditional union concerns like job and pension security, but also affordable health care and student loans.
It just shows the labor movement is back. We're not only working on building a stronger political voice for workers. We're also out there aggressively organizing new members, and you'll see changes in those numbers as well.
The numbers of union members at this convention, roughly 800 of the 4,800 delegates, indicate that organized labor clearly remains within the Democratic fold. Despite a trend toward union members voting for Republicans through the 1980s, recent AFL-CIO polls suggest that significant majorities of union households are inclined to vote for Democrats this year. Part of the reason pollsters say is that they believe the Democrats are beginning to listen to them again. It's not so much that every holder of a union card loves Bill Clinton. He is, after all, the president who signed the North American Free Trade Agreement. But for union members like Ed Ariza, a letter carrier from Indio, California, President Clinton represents the best means to some very specific ends.
He signed the Family Medical Leave Act. It had a great significance at the U.S. Postal Service because prior to him signing that, letter carriers were being terminated and suspended for being sick.
Or, he added, for caring for a sick child or relative. Ann Hoffman, an official with Unite, the needle trades union in Washington, D.C., says the difference between the Clinton administration and the Republican-controlled Congress has prompted organized labor to regain a spirit some thought had vanished.
We're finally fighting back, and it feels terrific. I'm 5 feet tall. I won't tell you what I weigh. But I'm not much of a danger to any business person in this country, except when I join with my coworkers and insist on what I'm entitled to. And that's what the other side seems to be afraid of.
And Ellen Jaffe, a special education teacher from Rockland County, New York, says she's grateful that the Clinton administration seems to appreciate the work of her union, unlike Republican nominee Bob Dole.
When somebody of that kind of influence comes up on a national platform and attacks the teachers' union, he's attacking every teacher in a classroom. It's very hard work, and without the support of the public, it's harder work.
Jaffe is one of 400 unionized educators who are delegates in Chicago. Teachers comprise half the organized labor contingent at this convention, an arm of labor that reaches into nearly every community. This was not lost upon Vice President Al Gore when he spoke to delegates from the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association.
Bob Dole says that Bill Clinton and I are close to teachers. He meant it as a criticism. We take it as the highest compliment.
Both the vice president's boss and the labor movement were jolted out of complacency by the Republican congressional gains of 2 years ago. Labor has responded by taking nothing for granted in the political landscape, says Richard Hurd, director of labor studies at Cornell University.
The best example is the minimum wage bill. By applying direct pressure in congressional districts of swing voters, the AFL-CIO played a major role in assuring the passage of the minimum wage increase. And they did that independently of the Democratic Party because they saw that as a crucial issue for workers.
Labor seeks to maintain an independent voice, Hurd says, allying itself only when necessary with more moderate forces within the Democratic Party. With its money and organized volunteers committed to electing Democrats, Labor may also be able to shift the party's direction farther toward its interests if those candidates win in November. In Chicago, I'm Cheryl Duvall reporting.